Welcome to the Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded podcast. I am your host, Ness Jones, and we'll be deep diving into all things separation anxiety. But before we get started, please make sure you like this episode, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications so you never miss another one. And don't forget, if you are interested in joining my easy step-by-step training program to resolve separation anxiety in your dog, you'll find the link in the show notes. Now let's get started. Today, I am going to be talking about exit points because your exit point can be a trigger for your dog, just as sometimes your leaving cues can be. Now, something I didn't mention in the last episode about leaving cues, about the triggers, the things that trigger your dog, sometimes we can look at them and say, well, do I really need to add them back in? So as you will remember, I said in the last episode that I don't add them in with my clients in my particular style of training. I don't add them in till that dog is comfortable at 30 minutes. Now, that might seem a long time, but that's how we get to where we want to get a lot quicker because we're not complicating the training by adding them in at the beginning and making it harder for the dog. So once we have identified those triggers, we can decide whether we actually have to layer them back into the home alone time or not. Now, there are going to be some things that are completely unavoidable that you cannot possibly not do. It could be brushing your teeth, for example, or maybe it's you live in an apartment where you have to lock the door with your key. Those are sort of things that we have to look at. But if there's something like a particular pair of shoes that perhaps could go into the car before you leave, an hour before you leave, or maybe the coats could go outside the door before you leave, an hour before you leave, then they're not going to trigger the dog so much because they're not really in view. So we can get creative with those sort of things. So it's something to consider as you go through a training program. However, let's not forget that there is one thing you cannot absolutely avoid, and that is your exit point. The door or the gateway or whatever it is that you leave by, obviously, it makes complete and utter sense that you can't avoid that. So you have to use it in your training. So this is one circumstance where I definitely do, you do have to start with that. Some dogs aren't triggered by the door. It's not that at all. But let's say that the dog is, you walk out a particular door, that dog is very hypervigilant, very, what are you doing? Am I coming with you? And starts getting worried immediately. Then we have to address that. The other thing to think about is the fear history. So if you have been exiting one particular door and the dog has been left by themselves to go over threshold and to panic, then any movement around that door could be very, very triggering for your dog. There are some places where you've got one exit point and one exit point only, and you have to do work around that. Some lucky people have more than one exit point. They can use a side door, a front door, a back door, what have you. And so if there is a fear history for those dogs around a particular exit point, we can certainly look at using a different one if it is possible. And that might make the training go a lot more smoothly than if we use the original door. We can factor that original door back in again later on in the training, but at the beginning of the training, when we're trying to build those really strong foundations, we want to make it as easy for the dog as possible. And imagine if you have this one particular door that you really, really want to use, but it's a huge trigger for your dog, and you actually do have the option of using another door. If you use the other door and you're building up that home alone time and the dog's actually fine to be left alone really confidently for a good half hour, then we can add in the original door, but we would do that with a separate plan and we would drop the time right back. But the dog has already learned that they can cope. They've learned that they can be okay for 30 minutes, and that is a real win for that dog. And you might find that the original door might not be as problematic when you start layering that back in. So fear history is something to take into consideration. So, and changing the door if it's possible, and sometimes you don't want to, sometimes it's not possible. And sometimes you simply can't because You live in an apartment and you've only got one exit point, and that is what it is. So then what do? We have to get the dog to the point where there's no value in the door that you are leaving by. So we don't want a hypervigilant dog. We don't want a dog that's statuing by the door, frozen solid at the door, and we start seeing all those panic signs. That's really going to be detrimental to your training. Just a word about dogs that follow to the door. I really don't have a problem with that. It's if there are signs of stress that is the problem. So ideally, though, we would like the dog to just hang out on their bed or on the couch or wherever it is and watch you go to the door and not be too invested in the door. So we don't want the dog to put too much value in the door. And how do we do that? It's quite a structured plan with my clients. I offer them a very structured plan to the point where the dog should be rolling their eyes at the thought of you going to the door. They're so bored with your backwards and forwards that they are, I don't care anymore. This is boring. I'm going to go back to sleep or whatever it is they're doing. I'm going to go and play because I don't care what you're doing anymore. You are being really, really boring. And it helps to lessen the value in that door so that when you are doing your training, when you are actually leaving, they're not too worried about it. They're not too concerned about it. They're like, oh, mum's being weird again. Okay. So just to reiterate, I don't mind if your dog follows you to the door. Lots of dogs hang out by the door. They wait by the door. They're waiting for you to come back. We just don't want all the other scary signs of distress that the dog is feeling uncomfortable, because that will be undermining your training and you will probably not make as much progress as we want. But we still need to get you out of the door. So it is very structured. It is a lot of backwards and forwards. What it's not is standing at the door, opening and shutting it, opening and shutting it, opening and shutting it. I have had clients in the past that were working from home, because that's always a big one, isn't it? And they would be walking from their office to the kitchen to make a drink or what have you, and stand at the door and opening and shutting the door while they were walking past. And then on the way back, it's not really going to help the dog learn that the door is not a thing of value. It is a very structured getting up to the go. It's very, here you are, nice and relaxed. You get up, you walk to the door, you come back. And it's over and over and over again. And maybe you don't make it to the door the first time. Maybe you only make it a few feet. Maybe then the next time you go a little bit further. And you repeat, 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 and you don't move on to the next step until the dog is okay with it. Because if you just get up and go straight to the door, open the door, and step outside, your dog's probably going to be quite vigilant and quite worried. Probably you'll see a lot of signs of discomfort, lip licking, maybe some yawning, maybe some wide eyes, and it could start to escalate. We don't want that. We just want the dog to be nice and relaxed. So you might just stand up and sit down 10 times. It could be as simple as that. And once the dog sees you do that, they're going to get pretty bored pretty quickly. The next step, you might stand up, walk towards the door, but not quite get there, and then come back. And you might repeat that a few times as well. Could be 6 times, could be 10 times, just depends what your dog needs. And then you might get a bit closer for the next session. And then the next session, you might rattle the door handle and repeat, 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 repeat. And then next session, you might open the door, but you might stay inside and you might repeat that several times. It's very structured. The idea is that you can get on the other side of the door. Now, your dog knows that you're on the other side of the door. So that's okay. It's not about your absence. It's about the dog not being invested in your exit point, whatever that is. Eventually, you want to increase the time on the other side of the door. You want to be able to move away from the other side of the door. And that's something we can get to. But initially, it is all about the door not being of value to the dog. So with my clients, the ones that go through a threshold assessment, they often don't have any time yet to get outside the door. So I don't want to do a threshold assessment if they've got, the dog can't even, they can't even step outside the door for 1 second. So I encourage them to do this door desensitization to get the dog really bored with that front door, the exit point, and then we gradually increase that time on the other side of the door for 1 second. Then it might be 5 seconds, and it might be 10 seconds, and it might be 20 seconds. It's very structured. And so by the time we get to the threshold assessment, I've got some time. They've got some time up their sleeves, and I can do a more fully rounded assessment and make sure that they're doing okay. Now, I did have an assessment once, this is a while ago now, and it was a very, very young dog, very, very had. It was a COVID puppy, so it hadn't learned to be by itself and was very hadn't been by itself either. So if mum went to go out the door, it naturally thought he would, or he thought he was going to follow mum. So we were doing the first part of the assessment, and she opened up her apartment door and the dog took off down the hallway and out the front of the apartment building. And I sat there for 5 minutes freaking out, really, really worried that that dog was going to get itself run over. It didn't happen. It was just a freak accident. And she got it back fine. Everything was fine. But that dog was too was of the mindset that it was going with her. So we had to do something to keep him away from the door. We did try the baby gate. So she put a baby gate up so that the dog couldn't get to the door. So when she opened her front door, the dog couldn't get there. Unfortunately, that was he started to bark a lot. The baby gate added a lot of frustration for that dog. So we went about it a different way. Now, I know I've just said I don't mind dogs following to the door, but in this case, it was making the dog worse. So we did place training or mat training, whatever you want to call it. And so we did that outside of anything else. She just worked on some place training. So on your bed, dog learned to go on its bed. And she didn't care that it was, she didn't mind that the dog was going to break. It was literally so she could get off out the door. She didn't really care if the dog had a place command or not. So it was really like, okay, on your bed, here's your treat. Now I'm going out the door. And that just helped that dog transition from saying, I'm coming with you, to, oh, I get a treat if I stay on my bed. And now I don't use food in training, but in this particular instance, it was a valid thing to do. It was a young dog, so it had to learn what on your bed meant. But it took to it very, very quickly, and it wasn't long before my client could step outside the door without the dog reacting. And it did away with the baby gate, because that baby gate added so much frustration to the dog's behavior when she left. So there are some things to work on. So work on some door desensitization. Don't let your dog be too invested in the door, have too much value in the door. We want them to not have any value in it, because once your dog is able to see you go out the door for 1 second, it's a process then, a step-by-step process to teach them that that 1 second could be 5 seconds, could be 10 seconds, could be 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and gradually building up using gradual exposure therapy and desensitization to safe absences only. And it actually progresses a lot quicker. If they're too involved in your backwards and forwards to the door, if they're hyper vigilant about you leaving, then that is where you have to start the work. And, some dogs, the backwards and forwards can be in itself a trigger, maybe not the right word, but can, let's say, it can stir them up. So if you're going backwards and forwards to the door and they're like, oh, what's this game? I'm coming with you, da, 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 and they get more and more hyped up, that's obviously counterproductive as well. So what can we do to address that? Some sort of relaxation, breaking down the door desensitization into smaller parts. It could be that you're going too fast through it. The dog's not ready to do that. I would suggest some place training on your bed while I do this backwards and forwards. And possibly that dog needs some just more time. It needs more time. It might be a young dog, and some sort of relaxation on your bed. Okay, settle down there. Good dog. Now I'm going to do this. And breaking down those steps into smaller bits. I did have one client who was very backwards and forwards to the door, very, very quickly, very, very tense. And you could see that that was stirring the dog up. So she had to slow down, stay calm, be cool and collected, and not be rushed. Because if you rush the process, it could very well hype your dog up more. So just be aware of that. You have been listening to Ness Jones on the Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded podcast. Don't forget to check out the show notes to learn more about my programs and how I can help you with tailored training. Until next time.